That's good stuff. Hey guys, how are we doing today? I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time, and it's because I haven't seen you in a long time. Let's see, I think the last time I was here was Ugly Sweater Sunday, because I was gone last weekend, so it's really good to see you guys. Even you, Caitlin, it's good to see you too. I mean, usually I'm not that excited to see you, but today I am. But actually, this week, I was talking to a youth pastor from another church, and we were just kind of talking about ministry, asking each other questions and stuff, and it was really cool because at one point he just kind of stopped me. He's like, okay, Gary, I just want you to tell me about your student ministry. Just like, tell me everything about it. And so my response, which I think it was just this cool reminder of how blessed I feel to be your guys' youth pastor, but I just told him, I was like, I could talk about this all day. So how much time do you have? And it's because I just love what I do, and I love that I get to be here with you guys. So being gone for the past month, it's been hard, so it's good to see all of your beautiful faces. But last week, we started a new series called One Thing. And kind of the big idea is we're talking about if there was one thing that we could do differently in this new year as it relates to spirituality, what would it look like if our lives changed in how we approached reading scripture and spending time with God in this specific area of our lives. So that's kind of the big idea with this series, One Thing. And last week, Kyle kicked it off for us. And I think if you've been here at church for a while, maybe you've grown up in church, you know this is not some kind of new, like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, this new idea. Like, we're supposed to read the Bible? That's nuts for Christians. You know, if you're just thinking, yeah, I've heard this, I know this, whatever, it's kind of always been a part of your church experience. But for those of you that maybe you're new to the whole Jesus thing, maybe you've just heard us talk about the Bible and talk about how it's this book that's supposed to be inspiring and life-changing as we live it out, but you've never really learned how to crack it open and figure this thing out on your own. And so we figured, why don't we do a series on this and just get really practical? So last week, Kyle talked about the big idea of remembering why is it that we even open this book in the first place? Like, what is the purpose of it? And he talked about how sometimes we can approach it and be like, I'm going to learn all these things about God. I'm going to get these facts and learn all these interesting things about history. And we forget that the primary reason is it's all relational. So it's to build our friendship and our relationship with God. Like, that's the thing that matters most. And his analogy was great, how he talked about he's dating Ainsley, which many of you guys know. There's two things you learn about their relationship. Number one, Ainsley's way out of Kyle's league, so that's, I mean, nice work dating up there, which I know many of you feel like you're in that position, like Michael Sexton. You're definitely dating out of your league. Don't know how that happened, but it's cool. So that's one thing you learned. The second thing you learned last week was that it would be really creepy if you went on a date like he described. So last week he talked about, what if he were to go on a date with Ainsley, and they sit down over, I don't know, what do you guys like to do? Olive Garden. They go to Olive Garden. They're enjoying the free breadsticks, which all of us enjoy. And so he has a notepad, and he's like, okay, Ainsley, what are three things that you really like to do? And he's like writing everything word for word down. Ainsley would be sitting there like, dude, this guy is a freaking weirdo. I got to get out of this restaurant. He's probably going to end up like in the middle of the night, I'm going to wake up, and he's going to be standing over my bed like, hi. You know, like that's what you'd be thinking. Girls, if you went on a date like that where they're just sitting there, maybe they're on the laptop, they're typing every word you say. Now tell me one memory from your childhood. Like, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, got it. Okay, next thing. You'd just be like, no, I don't want to date you. We are done. But sometimes we treat God that way where we're like, I'm going to open this book and my goal is to just learn a bunch of things about God instead of build my relationship with him. So you kind of started with that big idea. And now this week, I just want to get super practical and share some things that I think I've learned over the past 10 years of being a Christian about reading the Bible. You know, when I was 28 and I came to faith, I didn't really know what this whole Jesus thing was about. And so I had to have some people walk alongside me and tell me, Gary, here's why reading scripture is really important to your faith walk. Here's why this is the primary thing that God uses to speak to us today. And so many of you, maybe you've never had that. And so I just want to give you some really practical things on how to do this. So if you want to write down and follow along with me, take some notes, I'm going to give you four don'ts to start doing. Confusing? Okay. The junior hires are confused. That's all right. So the first one is this. Don't expect to be bored. Don't expect to be bored. Now, expectations are really important and they really matter, right? So, like, I know for myself, whatever I expect to get out of something, I usually get just that. So a few years ago when that movie The Dark Knight came out, so awesome movie, you know, good old Batman, all the guys like it, the girls, maybe. The girls, do you guys like that movie too? I heard some no's on this side, so that's okay. But so The Dark Knight came out. You know, the movie before that was Batman Begins, and so I had gone to see that one in the theater with some of my friends, and I had such a bad experience in that one that it affected my expectations going into seeing The Dark Knight, which was supposed to be this epic, amazing movie that everybody was really excited about. So I go to the movies, and we went to an IMAX theater, so we're going to make this like the best possible experience I could have to see the new one. And I'm sitting there, and I'm telling my friends that I was with, like, yeah, Batman Begins, I actually fell asleep in the theater because I was so bored in that movie. And so I just think this movie is going to be kind of lame. I'm not expecting that much. So my friend Erin, she kind of has like a mom talk with me, and she looks at me, and she's like, Gary, if you have those kinds of expectations, you're not going to have a good time tonight. So you need to change your attitude. And at first I'm like, dude, you're like younger than me. You can't tell me that. You're not my mother. This is weird. But then it was this really good moment of her kind of checking me and saying, you need to change your expectations. Because if you expect to be bored and expect not to gain much out of this, that's what you're going to get. And so I changed my attitude, and The Dark Knight is like one of my favorite movies still to this day. It's so, so good. The Joker creeps me out, but for some reason I keep coming back to him because he's so, so creative in how he kills people. Junior hires, do not go see this movie yet. Or if you do see it, tell them that Kyle McKee told you to watch it, not Gary, okay? So that'd be good. Or Jordan. We like to throw Jordan under the bus around here. He's a runner, so why wouldn't we do that? Gosh. Sorry. But expectations really matter, right? They're really important because whatever you expect, you tend to get. Think about the last album that came out that you might have been really excited about. So I don't even know what's pop. Like Katy Perry, did she come out with something new? Who? What did you say? What did you say? I don't know if I can say that out loud. Let's go again. Miley Cyrus. Okay. See, look at that, all these duds. See, like, these new albums are going to come out, and you're like, yeah, this is going to be amazing. And then it's like, oh, this one sucks. Like, come on. Okay, it was a really good album for some people. But for others, they're like, this was terrible. And so, I will mute the next time I have to do that. Okay. But so the same thing happens related to spirituality and opening this book. Because I think, if we're honest about this, many of you who have grown up in church, you would say that this book, when you read it, it bores you, right? You may not want to say that out loud, but you're like, I don't like to read. It's really long. There's big words that I don't understand. And I just don't want to do this. You're teenagers. I know none of you guys like to read. That's just the way it is. And so your expectations walking into it is like, okay, well, I'm supposed to do it because it's the religious thing I'm supposed to do to be a good Christian. But honestly, you would look and be like, I'd much rather read something like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or whatever, because those are more exciting. And so we walk into it with these super low expectations, and then that's what we get. We don't expect God to speak to us. We don't expect to be inspired. We don't expect to be changed if we choose to live this thing out. And so it's just kind of this dud, like, okay, well, yeah, it's part of the whole faith thing, but it's so, so boring. That's kind of how we approach it. And I don't know about you, but like, I've learned that there are some crazy, fun, amazing stories that make the like Jason Bourne series look like a dud compared to some of the things in here. Like, I want to read this one to you because it's so funny. This is pure comedy that I'm going to read to you right now, okay? So here it is. It's in the Old Testament, 2 Kings says, Elisha then traveled north to Bethel, retracing his last steps with Elijah. On his way there, a large group of young boys came out of the city and began making fun of him. So you guys would be doing this. Keep going, Baldy. Keep going, Baldy. When Elisha looked back at them, he spoke against them by authority of the eternal, authority of God. He speaks against them. Almost immediately, two female bears walked out of the forest and ripped up 42 of the young boys. I don't know about you, but I wish I could do that. Just be like, oh, that guy bugged me. All right, God, take care of him. You know, like, I wish I could do that, but I don't have that kind of power. But like, these kinds of stories are in here. There's these epic battles. There's miracles that happen. This one's really funny because at one point, this might surprise you, Jesus has a temper tantrum, okay? So he's just kind of strolling along, doing his Jesus thing, you know, healing people, miracles, and the whole bit. And he just kind of is, he seems like he's really grumpy. And so he sees this fig tree, and he's kind of hungry. So he's like, fig tree? Bear me some fruit. So he tells the tree to do that, and then no fruit appears. So Jesus looks at the tree, and he pronounces a curse on the tree. He's like, tree, you're dead. It's like, this is actually in the Bible. This is really, really funny. You can't really imagine Jesus doing this, because you think he's like, I'm going to heal, and I can tell God wants me to go here. You know, it's like we picture Jesus being like this, but he was a human dude, and he got hungry, and he got grumpy, and he cursed the tree. Like, that's amazing. These are such funny, funny stories. And so I think if we change our expectations and realize that this book, it's not this just boring thing that just tells me that I suck at life and I need to fix this and this and this in life, but there's this epic story of God speaking and creating humanity all the way to the point where he says, I'm going to redeem all of you and take you to a better place where you don't have to deal with pain, hurt, suffering, none of that anymore. It's this epic, amazing story that we get to be a part of. I think if we change our mindset and we understand that we get to play a small piece in the larger story that God is doing, it could transform how we can hear God's voice through this book. So that's the first thing. Don't expect to be bored. Second thing, don't read the entire Bible. Don't read the entire Bible. Like any other book, we'll treat this one the same, where we're like, okay, I need to open it. I need to start at the very beginning. And then I read the whole freaking thing until I can get done with Revelation. And it's going to take me about 83 years, and hopefully I'll finish by then. You know, like we treat it that way, and we think it's supposed to be just like some other book. And I'm not saying don't ever read the whole Bible, but I'm saying if you're somebody that struggles in this area where you're like, if you're a Christian in here, and you're like, I always feel guilty because I know I'm supposed to be in this thing, but I don't do it enough. If that's you, then you're not doing it the right way. And that's why I'm trying to say, don't start at the beginning, because you're going to start reading about all these weird names and stuff, and you're going to be like, okay, I don't really get this. This is confusing. And then you're just going to put it down because you just feel like it has no impact on your life. And the reality is that we remember small bits way better than we remember really, really large sums. And so I want to illustrate this for you. I'm going to put up some different images on the screen, and you're going to have to say the tagline that every single one of us in this room knows for it. So just when you see it, just go ahead and shout it out, okay? So throw the first one up, CJ. What? And going, and going. Yeah, yeah, okay. That's the first one. I guess you guys don't know these. We got a smart group today. Number one, number two? Okay. Where are the guys at? Does anybody know it? What? Guts, Glory, Ram. And Dodge Trucks Are Dodge Tough. There's that one as well. Come on. You guys suck at this game, dude. Okay, next one. Classic. Like Kyle shared a couple weeks ago, I watched this movie, literally I watch it daily because Jad loves it so much, so I got this one down. Okay, last one. Here we go. Eat It and what? You don't yet, that's not it at all. Anybody? Come on. I know they're M&Ms. What is the tagline? Anyway, somebody over here, tell me what the tagline is. What? They taste your seat? What? A taste you can see? No, you're fired. They melt in your mouth, not in your hands. Thank you. Oh, my word. You guys are all fired from life. Wow, that was bad. Okay, well, my point was supposed to be that we remember by repetition, but clearly we have a slow group in here today. But I can tell you, for me, when I was in college, I had this class called curriculum where I had to write an entire curriculum on one of the books of the Bible. I went to Seattle Pacific University. It's a Christian school. And in that class for 10 weeks, all we were allowed to do was work on the book of Galatians. So I had to write this whole kind of like youth group curriculum thing on it. So I read that thing so many times in those 10 weeks. It's only 5 chapters, so you figure that's a really short book. But man, I remember so much about that book, and it's been 10 years since I've been in college and had that class. And one of the really interesting things, this is a total side note, about Galatians is, so this guy Paul writes it, and he writes over half of the New Testament. And most of his letters are really, really encouraging. Like, you guys are awesome. Yeah, God loves you. You're amazing. And the book of Galatians is the only one where the entire time, it's like he's pissed. And he's like, you guys suck. You need to do this differently. You think you're really religious, and you think that's going to get you to heaven. That's not going to work. And so he's just like reprimanding over and over and over again. So the next time you read Galatians, read it with like the angry dad voice. and then you'll really get a picture of what's going on in that one. But I remember so much about that book and then another book called 1 John. That's also 5 chapters. And it was the same thing where I led a Bible study on it when I was in college, and I studied that thing like crazy, man. I could tell you the different Greek words in this book. I can tell you about every single chapter, what the kind of the theme of each chapter is. I can tell you so much because I read this small chunk, but I kept reading it over and over and over again. When we repeat things, we learn and we retain way better. And so that's my point. Maybe this is something you want to try and do for the rest of January. Here's kind of an action step. If you're having trouble like with the whole Bible reading thing and you want to change that, just read the book of 1 John for the rest of the month. So there's 15 days left. That means you can read it if you read a chapter a day. That's reading it 3 times through. And I think that would be a really, really good action step because I know that if you do this, that book, you're going to remember so much about it. And the really cool thing about 1 John specifically is that it's all about God's love. And I remember for me as a new Christian, that's all I really needed to hear was, okay, God loves me. Okay, I'm not too much of a screw up. I haven't messed this thing up. Like, God still wants me. He still loves me. He's still there. And so maybe that's something you could try for the rest of this month. Let's do your third one here is don't do it on your own. Ew. We all know this to be true. Our funniest stories and funniest memories are ones that we did something with a group of other people or one other person. When you're trying to tell somebody something really funny that happened to just you, don't you feel kind of awkward? You're like, dude, you got to check this out. This was so funny. Last night, while I was laying, whatever, your whole story is, and you're telling them, like, that's not even cool. Like, that's not funny at all. And so you've had those moments before, and it's because there's some kind of, like, excitement and synergy that we experience when we do things together. Like, I think about some of my funniest, most amazing stories I have are from college, and one of them is, I've told some of you about this before, but we played this game called Water Crotch in college, and it's really not that complicated. It's like water crotch. That's like all it is. So what we would do is, I don't know how, in college you just think of weird things, and this kind of just happened. We were just like, what if we like took water and poured it on each other's crotches in public? Dude, that would be funny. Like, that's how we came up with the idea. So we're sitting in the dining hall with, like, hundreds of other students, and we're choosing to play this game, and all these strangers are looking at us like, there's no way you guys are in college. This is ridiculous. But here's one of the pictures of us. Clearly we... Yeah, so it was really funny. But imagine if I did that to myself. I'm like, dude, check it out! And I'm, like, dumping water on my crotch. You'd be like, no, bro. You need some major counseling. This is not good. You can take that off, please. It's not good. But the story is so funny and has impact, and I remember it because I did it with this group of other guys that were just as dumb and crazy as I am. I mean, we had some other people start to join the game. At one point, I had a girl dump milk on me. Like, what? I don't even know you, lady. Like, what's up with that? And then another guy, you were supposed to, like, take a cup and you pour a little bit in your hand and you kind of, like, dump it instead of taking a whole glass. But we had a guy that just was like, ha, water crotch. And he just, like, chucked it on me. And I'm like, bro, you're not allowed to play the game anymore. Go home. But our best memories, the things we remember, are ones when we're with friends. Think about all the, if you've gone to a camp before, Summit, Move, Dunes, you remember so much about those weekends because you were with a group of people in a stinky cabin maybe with junior high boys that don't shower or wear deodorant or brush their teeth. So you remember all these things. Or girls, you guys remember crying for hours because you're like, oh my gosh, my life is falling apart. Oh God. Oh cool. You know, like you have all these emotional, like you never know what to expect with you. And it's totally. You know what's up. But you have those because they were experiences that you had together with a group of people. And so what I'm saying with this point is maybe I'll phrase it in a question. Do you have somebody that you can walk through Scripture with? Maybe it's a group. Maybe it's just one other person that you said, hey, let's try and like take this thing seriously. Let's open up our Bible, and for the next month, we're going to read this book together. We're going to read through the Gospel of Matthew together. Do you have somebody that you do that with? I know for a lot of you, it's your group life group that maybe you do that with. Like my group on Saturdays, we That's what we do. We just open up to a chapter, we read, and we just talk about it. And it's a really cool thing to be able to have people that you can go, okay, I don't understand this, or this is something I thought was really, really cool that I read. And because that synergy that happens when you're together, it produces this excitement and this anticipation of like, yeah, God does use this book to speak to me. God does change lives. God did do amazing things, and he's continuing to do amazing things through the same Holy Spirit that was present back then. I still have that Holy Spirit in my life. And so maybe you need to find somebody that you can just say, hey, will you walk through Scripture with me? Can we change our spiritual lives in this area and say, hey, we're going to actually do this thing, but we're going to do it together. We're going to hold each other accountable. We're going to share the cool things we read. We're going to share the confusing things. But maybe that's something you could do, is just to find somebody that you can walk with. Check out this verse in Proverbs. It says, the one who walks with the wise will become wise. I just love it. Faith was never meant to be an alone thing. There's a lot of Christians out there that are like, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. I don't really like the church thing. And they think they can just do faith on their own. But everywhere throughout the entire Bible, the message is love God and love people. You can't love people if you try and do faith alone. And so maybe that's something you need to do, is to find somebody that you could walk with. On the back of your comm card, you don't have to do this right now, but we have a mentoring program that many of you guys are in, and it's where we've given you an adult leader or even another student that you just get to meet with and say, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Maybe that's something you could do. We have more adults that want to be mentors. It's a matter of you choosing to take that step and say, hey, I want to get serious about my spiritual growth. And once again, I'm talking to Christians. One of the phrases around here that we've just kind of made us ourselves about is, we don't expect non-Christians to act like Christians. We want people to deal with the faith thing, with the Jesus thing first, and then the behavior changes. So for you that are Christians in here, would you choose to take a step forward in this area of your life and say, I need somebody to hold me to my commitment, and so I'm going to do that. Last thing is this, don't learn something. Weird, right? I'm telling you at church, don't learn anything. The guys are like, finally, I can just play Xbox. So, here's the deal, and I really want you guys to get this, so look up here. Sometimes, all God wants is to hang out with you. He doesn't want you to open this thing so you can be like, okay, what are 5 things that I can do better in my life in order to make God happy? In order to make it to where he's like, okay, you're on the right track, and you're good, you're awesome. Sometimes he's just like, I just want you to read in here because you're going to grow closer to me. So don't learn anything. Don't try and find like 10 application steps that you can have this week. Like, I think sometimes in the church, we have overemphasized application to where we come in here and we feel guilty because we're like, well, I didn't do anything about last week or the week before, and I apparently just suck as a Christian. And so we overemphasize. I'm not saying that you can just sit in a chair and be like, hey, I'm a Christian, I don't have to do anything. I'm not saying that at all. But I think sometimes we put so much guilt and pressure on ourselves, and really, God is like, I just want to hang out with you. Like, just spend 10 minutes this week, 10 minutes today, open this thing up, and let's just connect. Don't learn anything. Let's just spend time together. As a father now, there are so many times where, for me, all I want to do is just hang out with Jeff. I don't necessarily want to sit there and be like, okay, I need to make sure I teach him these certain things, like how to eat better, and he's got to walk better, and all these different things, whatever. I don't do that. I'm just like, Jad, I just want to hang out, and I want to play with you. Like, one of our routines is, every single night before I give him a bath, we just go and jump on the bed. Like, dude, it's such a blast. It's so much fun, because it'll be, like, close to bedtime, to bath time. He's like, he'll look at me and be like, bed, bed, bed. And he just knows, like, that's the word to get me to go, okay, let's go. We're going to jump on the bed. I'm going to throw you in the air. It's going to be super fun and all this. But I just love to hang out with him. Now, I want to show you a video to kind of illustrate this. So go ahead and pop that up.
This. Dad, can you do this?
Yeah, go!
Okay, your turn. You do it.
Here
you go.
You
do it. Right here. Hey,
go!
Go! Dad, raise your hands. Go!
Go!
Yeah! Again. Okay, you want to do it again? Okay, do it again. Hit the goal. Oh, hit the goal. Go! Raise up your hands, buddy. Jeff.
Johnny.
Go, go! Or not.
Yeah. So, I could sit there and I could, like, pick apart everything he's doing wrong related to hockey, right? Like, Jad, you only have one hand on the stick. You're not doing it right. Jad, you missed that shot. You need to make it every single time. If you screw it up, then nobody's going to want you on their team. Like, come on, let's get it together. Now, if I were to do that and you watched me interacting like that with my son, would you be like, this is so dysfunctional, right? You'd be like, Gary, your kid's a year and a half. You should just be happy he can hit the ball. Like, come on, calm down, right? Like, you would think that's so dysfunctional. And I think we need to change the way that we relate to God in that way, where we don't necessarily think that God's up there like, okay, you better apply something every single time you open up this book. And if you don't, I'm really mad at you. And you're just not a good enough Christian. See, I think sometimes we look at God more as a fixer than we do as a father. And if we change the way we think and the way that we see God as a father, then everything else has a way of just kind of starting to work out. And so I think that's something that all of us need to kind of work on. Let me read this verse to you that Kyle read last week, actually. This is Jesus talking here, and kind of towards the end of his life in John chapter 15. And he's talking to a specific group of his disciples, the 12 guys that were most committed to him. And here's what he says. I don't call you servants any longer. Servants don't know what the master is doing. But I have told you everything the Father has said to me. I call you friends. Underline, I call you friends. See, going back to what Kyle said last week, at the end of the day, it's all about relationship. That's what matters most to God. He's not just a fixer. He's a father that wants to spend time with us. So as we wrap up, which one of these is something maybe you could work on this week? Is it finding a friend that you need to just go, hey, you and me, let's commit to doing this thing. Let's commit to opening up Scripture and let's read something together. Maybe you need to read 1 John for the rest of the month. That's your next step to take. Or just changing your expectations as it relates to how you see this. And you're not going to be bored, but you're going to be like, this book could change my life if I really choose to live it and to follow it. Or just releasing yourself from that pressure of needing to be perfect and like God's up there like, you better fix everything in your life. Just releasing yourself of that. What is it for you that maybe you need to do this week? Go ahead and grab your comm cards, pull those things out. If you didn't fill that out, please fill that out for us, especially if you're here for the first time. We'll make a donation in your honor to the Mentoring Project, which is an organization that helps kids that don't have fathers. And then on the back, I think I told you about the box where you can check if you want information about getting a mentor. You could do that if you'd like to and join the many of us that already are a part of that program. Maybe you have questions about this faith thing. You could check a box and we'll have somebody follow up with you. And I want to invite the ushers to come forward. We're going to take an offering now. Now, this is the time of the service that's for the people that call this place home. So if you're here and you're new, we don't expect you to give. Just pass the bucket right by. Just drop your comm card, your pen, your program.